Send a movie idea.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and t-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are simple. We can discuss as many of your ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where the winning film will be based on my self-published memoir, 10 Years to Shave My Chest. I'm Joel, a man who puts the boo into Liz Truss, has written more books than she's read, and across from me is John Harris, a man who actually has a brilliant plan to save Western civilization in a mere 9 years and 7 months. Hello, John.
Yeah, come on, mate. It's about 10 years.
Yeah, come on. You're going to go on holiday. You're going to save the West and then go on a 5-month sabbatical.
Yeah. Well, this, you say it's 9 years and 7 months. It's actually 2 years and 7 months and a 5-year holiday.
Nice.
Well, because if you save the West, right, you get a big holiday, I would say.
I think if you save the West, you probably bank quite a few days in lieu.
Yeah. A nice cake, maybe.
A nice cake. A
big pat on the back.
A gold watch, pat on the back. Yeah, I think. But then who's acknowledging you? At what point do they declare the West is saved?
Oh, it's got to be like an arm of the UN or something, right?
I'm imagining big medal ceremony like at the end of Star Wars or Lord of the Rings.
And there's no explanation of what I did and how it saved. It
just that
is.
You saved the West. And it's also just like full of goblins and ghouls and stuff. Because they've all come to say, well done, John. There wouldn't be any goblins or ghouls in either of those ceremonies, would there?
No.
There's not really a goblin in space. There's never been a goblin in space.
Ooh.
And the goblins are invariably bad guys in Lord of the Rings. Who's the weirdest fella? The weirdest fellas at the medal ceremony. Like even the Ents don't turn up, do they? The big tree fellas. So, you know what I'm going to say? The weirdest fellas at the Lord of the Rings medal ceremony are the bloody hobbits.
Oh, there's nothing weird about the hobbits.
Exactly. That's sort of my point, John. It's that it's kind of, I don't know, man. I'm not feeling that as comfortable about that ceremony as I once was. Weird guys there.
There's the famous thing, isn't there? At the end of Star Wars A New Hope, there is a medal ceremony. And Chewbacca walks up, but he is not presented with a medal, which seems like space racism to me.
That is spacism. On the subject of racism, which I'm glad we've got to, there's a new business that's opened up near me, and I'll take a photo for the Dream Factory socials. I can't believe it exists. It's been opened in the same building as like a kitchen showroom.
Okay.
Right. So the kitchen showroom, it's showing its kitchens, it's selling its kitchens. They've decided they need a side hustle. They've thought, we just sold a big kitchen and we freed up some space in the kitchen showroom. Someone walked in and said, I want that. I want that as is in my house. And so they just sold it as seen. And it cleared a corner of the kitchen showroom. Bathroom showroom? I can't remember which one I said. They're all in the... it's all white and marbled, you know.
Fine, yeah, so
The classically, it's been a problem throughout my life. I can't really tell when I'm in a kitchen or a bathroom.
It's like face blindness.
It's got me into some scrapes. I've poached eggs in toilets, and I won't talk about what I've done in kitchens, but it is frankly disgusting. Anyway, this kitchen/bathroom showroom where I live had some space, and it thought the best thing we can do with this space, given that we are in the kitchen/bathroom showroom business, is to build like a 4D simulator, car simulator. And John, that car simulator is called Race Sim. And when you see it written, no. It just looks so much like they've opened a business called Racism. There's a van. All you're doing is double taking every time you walk past, even though I've now seen it 500 times. There's a black van with white text out the front of it promoting this business that just says Racism. Racism. And every time you walk past, you're like, what? So yeah, Anyway.
So you go into a showroom and there's a little corner with some virtual simulator car.
Yeah.
That's called racism.
That's called racism. It's good stuff, man. Anyway.
That's what we're here to talk about, isn't it?
That's what we're here to talk about. Let's pitch some film ideas. How about this one from Stu? Monkey Man. A man challenges a locksmith to a fight. Would a locksmith be handy in a fight?
He's got weapons, hasn't he?
He's got weapons. Right. I've never had to call a locksmith in my life, which is something I really pride myself on, because I believe every door unlocked for that very reason.
Right. The title of this is Monkey Man, right? And I can't, I cannot have a film with the where the title begins with the word mon and it not be a French man who's the protagonist.
Ah, monkey.
Monkey man. Or
Moncléom.
Yeah.
Moncléom. That's good. Moncléom. Okay, so it's a Frenchman's locked out of his apartment. Or sorry, John. Apartment. So I think it's got like an extra P in. It's got an extra P in there, you know, for no real reason. Appartement. A Frenchman's locked out of his appartement. He has to call his has to call a locksmith. But because he's French, John, we realise that the locksmith's been having an affair with the Frenchman's wife. Because he's already got a key to get into the flat.
What, and he just arrogantly goes, oh yeah, no worries.
Yeah. I'll just open this right up. The guy's like, what? And they have a big fight.
And it's brutal and it's visceral. And they find their way at the local Timpsons and use the sort of trophies and keys as weapons.
Yeah, they use trophies and keys.
There's like that machine, isn't there, that does like the sanding, the spinny sandy thing.
Oh, yeah.
Facing that.
Oh, at one point, they shove someone's head in the shoe vise and they put a, they stamp a leather sole onto your head.
Yeah.
Timpsons is good. It's good, man. Although I will say, the biggest con they've got going over at Timpsons is a specific con related to me. And that is that you can get your watch battery changed. Have you ever got your watch battery changed at a Timpsons, John?
No.
There's two price points.
Oh.
Price point number one, £15 battery replacement. In and out, see you later, no questions asked. And they're doing that in like 20 minutes, half an hour. That for me is fantastic value.
Fine.
Price point number two, £20. A lifetime of watch battery replacements.
What?
What? Exactly. What? But here's the rub. The only record that you've ever purchased a lifetime supply of watch replacements is a fiddly tiny little piece of card / receipt paper.
Oh, yeah. But,
what, am I supposed to carry that with me forever? Is the expectation that I, you know, in one of my top five most prized possessions, you know, a tsunami is about to hit Forest Gate and I'm running around my flat trying to gather up my belongings. What, my five most prized possessions, hard drives 1 through 4 and my Timpsons watch battery receipt. It's unthinkable. I've got watches where I've paid for 3 lifetimes over. It's like an American prison sentence.
You get pulled over by a police officer and they're like, where's your ID? And you're like fumbling through all your Timpson lifetime cards.
I've got watches. Honestly, like I could leave my watches to like the next 9 generations of Groves. And they would never have to pay for a watch battery ever again.
That's so true. Is it inheritable?
What? How do you define the lifetime of a watch? That's such a good point.
Is it the lifetime of the person or the watch?
It's not like they hand you a scroll in Timpsons and you sign a big thing that says, upon my death, this expires. And then when I die, like in Back to the Future, the tiny little receipt just dissipates into the air. Or like the devil appears and just snatches it from my as they're going through my belongings. They read out the will and it's like he leaves 50% of his, you know, estate to such and such. He and to to a Mr. Timpson, he leaves his watch receipt. He just appears in a puff of smoke. So yeah, anyway, I'm keeping Timpsons going. And it's a lot like, you know how gyms are kept afloat by people that have gym memberships but never go? Like 75% of people that have a membership never go. It's the same at Timpsons, man. Timpsons exists and they do they're a fantastic company, genuinely, that do lots of really brilliant things and really look after their staff. And the reason they can afford to do that, John, is because I've bought the next 1,000 lifetimes of watch batteries.
Right.
So maybe that's what Monkey Man actually is. It's like a courtroom drama where I'm taking them to court over the fact that I want my watch to last forever. I go to the You're, I can tell you're really, you're like, for about 5 minutes ago, you thought this idea was done, but it's not done.
Yeah, I thought we were cooked.
Nope. So I, through reasons that will work out later in development of this film, I end up with a holy grail. I get granted eternal life. I immediately start thinking, how does that apply to my various warranties?
That's only revealed in the third act of the movie that you have eternal life.
No. I think the first 30 seconds is a sizzle cut montage of how I've been given eternal life. And then the rest of the film is me working out the admin of, yeah. Like, do I still become pensionable at the age of 65, for example? At what point is the state going to say, enough is enough? You can't have 700 years of a pension.
The entire trailer and advertising campaign is built from that 30 seconds at the beginning of the movie. So people go and expect
it. It makes the film seem magical, a real romp. And then it is just courtroom. It's me taking everyone to court. I think there's quite a good comedy film premise in being granted eternal life and actually having to deal with all of the admin.
Monkey Man with Dev Patel.
And that's Monkey Man.
What about this one from Tony? The Hateful Ocean's 8, the world's greatest ever sheep heist.
Hang on. Which bit? Is the Hateful 8 about stealing sheep?
No, but there's Ocean's 8. The Hateful 8 is like about cowboys in a barn, isn't it?
It's cowboys in a barn. I remember I went to see The Hateful 8 at the cinema. And there was an intermission, which I thought was really cool. But you realise now that's because the film's too long. Isn't the big twist... My memory of The Hateful Eight, and I don't think that enough scorn is given to this film for this. For Tarantino, a man famous for pulling the rug out from under you and giving you a twist, isn't the twist in The Hateful Eight, these guys were under the ground the whole time? Isn't that right? You don't even know who they are. And then at one point, they all just pop up from the cellar. And you're like,
you know exactly
who
they are. They're Channing Tatum and co.
Yeah, but you've not... I don't think you've been introduced to them until that point, have you? That is absolutely outrageous. That is like on a par with, and it was all a dream, as far as I'm concerned. And they were in the cellar all along. What do you mean? Who was?
There's a brief era.
I didn't even know there was a cellar.
Would you have been all right if the cellar had been established at the very least?
Absolutely, because it would have been on my mind the whole time. Chekhov's basement.
There was a real era where I felt like Channing Tatum would just cameo and stuff.
Yeah.
It'd just appear. I remember this is
the
end.
I'm always happy to see Channing Tatum.
Oh, I'm not complaining. I just thought he's not getting his name in any credits at the minute.
Is he still one of the big guys?
I remember there was that era where for about 7 years, I swear his main project was that he was going to be Gambit in the next X-Men film. And that just never happened. That's tough, man.
Damn.
I think he's still one of the main guys. He did Sexy Dancing with Selma Hayek, Magic Mike 3, The Last Stand.
He did Magic Mike 3, The Last Stand. I don't know, John, if that's really backing up your claim that he's still one of the main guys. I think he was, wasn't he the main guy maybe around Foxcatcher?
Ooh.
Is that when Tatum was kind of at his peak, sort of critically and commercially? I feel like there were probably projects on both sides.
I think Tatum is clearly a good enough actor. He can have a little taste on his songs. Don't worry about him. Maybe don't worry about him.
Look, maybe Tatum's just picking his projects. We don't know. We don't know, do we?
So this idea comes to us, well, actually, it came to us a while back, but it comes to you as Tarantino has just revealed that the film critic or the movie critic or whatever it was going to be called is no longer his last movie. He has binned it.
So, yes. When I first saw that story, I thought the headline was he's going to make another movie after it. Because it's really quite confusing. Because the headline, Tarantino decides the movie critic will no longer be his last movie. I don't know. What do I draw from that? That he's going to carry on making movies? But no, it's that it's been canned.
And I saw movie critic Chris Hewitt point out, as he has done before, he's already done 10 movies. He just, in his head, counts Kill Bill and 1 and 2 as one movie.
Yeah.
So technically, he needs to hang up his shoes. Is that what directors do?
Does it mean that maybe like in a dream, a better idea came along to him?
Well,
and is he now like cursed forever? Because he's committed to the fact that his next film is going to be his last film. Is he just going to reach around this stage of every film and then be like, no, this can't be the last one until he eventually decides that he's made a perfect film?
I don't know. Surely he can just like do stuff under a pseudonym or something going forward. The reason he wants to do 10 is because he, at heart, is just a little movie geek who, you know, would binge someone's entire filmography, and he wants his filmography to be bingeable. And if he does too many, it becomes sort of too hefty.
Right. He wants like a Criterion DVD collection that sits on all students' shelves forever. Yeah.
The Coen Brothers collection of which I've only watched maybe 2-3 movies.
Yeah. I had Coen Brothers and the Kubrick collection sat on my in my uni halls. Big time. Yeah.
Don't get me nostalgic for the trips down to HMV for the like £10 entire DVD collection of a filmmaker.
Well, I think we've spoken about it quite a few times before, but when I was at uni in my first year and I had limited funds, we talked about the trade down, the constant trade down.
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
It was essentially a bartering system with yourself.
It was a bartering system with myself and CEX, where I would purchase something at full price and trade it in for as close to full price as possible, and repeat the process until I got games and films, and then I was eventually buying movies for like 10p.
Oh, I remember the here you go. This will date us. At uni, I remember the Blockbuster closing down sale, going in, getting, for my sins, Entourage Series 1 and 2. Which apparently...
This will save Blockbuster.
I've heard it. Entourage, the TV show, has aged incredibly well and is not problematic.
Mm, yeah, big time. They're throwing a little Butterkissed toffee popcorn that's probably 4 years past its sell-by date.
Absolutely.
To sweeten the deal.
It's tough because, yeah, like, I remember my parents being like, oh, in my day, you'd go to the corner shop and get the blah, 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 blah. Black. I'm so sad that I'll never be able to go to a Blockbuster, browse the DVDs, get the snack and drink, and go home and have a nice evening.
Really exciting. And this is so boring and old personally to say, but like the idea that you would buy or rent a DVD meant you're all in on that piece of media.
Oh, yeah.
Like films that I really love, and like early DVDs that I got were things like Shaun of the Dead, Austin Powers, Goldmember.
The best
and
one.
As a result, I not only have watched those films 100 times, I've watched them with director's commentary 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
I've watched every single bonus feature. There's like, I could tell you what happens on the loop of the DVD menus of most of those films. You know, like just desperately trying to search for any additional content in the corners of a screen. Which is like, the death of the bonus feature has got to be the worst thing about physical media not existing anymore, right?
The looping home screen.
I used to quite often, we're really tangential today, John. I apologize to listeners that have come here for what they come here for, the real stuff. What are we talking about? But I used to go to bed with a DVD on quite often as a means to get me to sleep, which would mean that the DVD would end and it would return to the DVD home screen, but would always mean that I would wake up at 3 a.m. to like that on an intense blaring loop and it would have like infected my dreams. And the one that always, always, always sticks in my mind, and I hear this phrase genuinely daily, and it's for this reason, is that it's like, I think it's Peep Show series 4 or 5. The DVD home menu is a loop of very short clips from the show. And one of those clips is of an Australian woman that comes to very, very briefly lives in Mark and Jeremy's flat. And there's a bit where they're having a party and she shouts, come and stick your tongue up Lindsay's arsehole, Mark, it's clean, in a very Aussie accent. And I hear that maybe 20 times a day, just 20 times a day. And that's because, in a way that like our parents' generation might have listened to language tapes when they were asleep, that it would hopefully like embed in their subconscious. I've just listened to that on a DVD menu loop so many times that it's completely infected my subconscious. So there you go. And what I'm saying is, kids these days,
no, right,
are missing out on that.
We're old men shaking their fists at the clouds.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Well, we've done two ideas, Joel, and are we going to move on to
which, hey, would you like one idea from me?
Yes, please.
This one's from me. The Mall Guy. Paul Blart Mall Cop is a washed-up stuntman or something.
Oh, the Fall Guy. Right.
The Fall Guy. We're all very excited to see the Fall Guy, aren't we? Ryan Gosling.
People seem to say that the trailer looks shit, but I don't know. Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, that guy who does the action films, sounds good to me.
I'm in. I'm all in.
No, I'm excited.
All it needs. Like, they're both fantastic. Both very charismatic. They can carry comedy really well. I'm up for it.
Ryan Gosling seems to be in his comedy phase, and I'm all here for it.
The stuff that came out of the Saturday Night Live was just all bangers.
Yeah.
Wasn't it all bangers? They even did a sequel to the Papyrus sketch that they had to cut for time. That's how many like amazing sketches they managed to squeeze out.
They even did a sequel to the Papyrus sketch that was great. I was like, oh no, don't. Like, it's so perfect as is, don't. And then
yeah.
It's great.
He's so good. He's so funny. So yeah, very excited for Fall Guy. Would obviously be more excited if it was about the character Paul Blart Mall Cop.
So Kevin James did a film where he was like boxing, right? I remember seeing posters for that and stuff. So he can do action when he needs to. I'm sure he fell off that Segway in Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 a couple of... I mean, we've seen that film, Joel, for us since back in the day.
We have on a former project. Isn't the thing about Kevin James that he's now got mega ripped?
Is he?
Isn't he like a super hunk? Like he's kind of shaved head, looks a bit like Dave Bautista now, I think.
I've seen the shaved head Kevin James here. Oh, yeah.
I feel like he might be a strong man. That's the deal you do with the devil, much like a lifetime watch battery exchange in Timpsons. If you get that jacked, your comedy chops disappear with it.
Yeah, 100%. That's what the Kumail Nanjiani problem. Paradox.
That's the deal. You shake hands with Hollywood's most evil personal trainer, and they say, in exchange for your personality and wit, I will look at Chris Pratt. I will make you jacked beyond belief.
You don't need a personality when you're ripped.
Yeah, cleverly we chose neither. hey, why don't you give me your film idea?
To give you context, a few weeks back when I was in the midst of a nighttime session with looking after my six-month-old baby, I just wrote a bunch of movie ideas down. I just thought, I'm going to bank a bunch.
Wow.
And then yesterday I was looking through them being like, oh, let's pick one for today. And I really chuckled to myself about own past self.
Come on.
Have I oversold it? Yes, probably. Weed. Keanu Reeves must remain constantly stoned or his bong will explode.
That is fantastic.
Thank you. You can imagine the late 90s of making that.
Yeah.
Pre-Matrix.
He has to stay he can't drop below 55 stoned. He can't drop below like a certain... I don't even know how you measure the intoxication of drugs. Is it like a breathalyzer style thing? He can't drop below that at any point, but he still has to function. Like there's still like a chase or there's something he has to do, he has to achieve.
Yeah, for some reason... The man is coming after him. Just the sort of generic man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice.
In many ways, it's a precursor to The Matrix. Yeah, so yeah, it's just slapstick comedy of him running around. Also, he doesn't want the bong to explode generally, so like he can't drop it. So he needs to stay stoned, but he also, there's slapstick of him running around not letting it break.
And I guess the paranoia would increase, so the man would be after him the entire time.
Oh, yes. That's
it.
It
would get stronger.
At the end, it just turns out it was just a paranoid.
It was paranoid the entire time.
There's no man, there's no exploding bong. He just had a bad trip.
And much like a Tarantino, they're in the cellar the whole time reveal. You just find out Keanu Reeves has been on his sofa the entire time. Good stuff, man. Hey, John, do you know what? I think you won today's episode.
Oh, thank you very much. I was very proud of that idea. And someone will reveal, a listener will reveal that a listener sent it in about 3 years ago.
Hey, well done, John. That was I thought I had lots of fun today. I thought I had lots of fun. I didn't.
Oh, didn't you, mate?
I had a great time.
Great.
I thought everyone did really well.
I think so too.
And I think we should do it again next week. John, have you been enjoying anything? Has anything been good?
I've got a few things. Firstly, Serial. We haven't spoken about Serial. There's a new series of Serial. It's the best series of Serial since the first series of Serial, but it's not really Serial insofar as it's, I would say, the thing that made Serial Serial, can I say that word enough, was it that it was about a single sort of true crime case. It sort of was the beginning of all these slightly more exploitative stories about true crime. This one is all about Guantanamo Bay. So it's really interesting, really fascinating, all about the history of Guantanamo Bay, loads of like the interviews of the guards and the military and also people who were detained, like really fascinating. But yeah. It's just an, I don't go into it expecting anything like Serial, just go into it sort of thinking this will be a fascinating documentary series about Guantanamo Bay.
Nice. Sounds good to me. I watched all of the series of Fallout, the TV series based on the video game. Hey, I had a good time. It's a fun ride. It's a real romp.
You know that in Europe, Fallout 4 is now the biggest selling video game this week.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's why they make these damn shows. Didn't that happen to The Last of Us as well?
I think so, yeah.
And they time a remaster of The Last of Us? Because there's an updated version of Fallout 4 for like the latest generation of console coming out next week. So that they know what they're doing.
Yeah. It's all linked. And Sonic.
Oh, yeah.
Every time a Sonic game. Do you know what? The only people who don't do it is Nintendo because they just don't think like that. So when the Mario movie came out,
they don't behave.
A game didn't come out for like 9 months.
Yeah, incredible.
I've got a couple of other things. One that I'd imagine you've either watched or definitely is on your to-do list, which is Baby Reindeer, the Richard Gadd Netflix show.
Yeah, it's number one on my list. It's the next show we're going to watch, I think.
So I'm 4 or 5 episodes into that. So brilliant. Would definitely recommend. All of the trigger warnings if there's any sort of assault or stalking, you know, things that might upset you, definitely don't watch it. But otherwise, brilliant, like just absolutely amazing. We've both seen, I didn't see the Baby Reindeer show, you did. I've seen Richard Gadd perform live though, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's so great, he's so talented. And I'm delighted for him that this has been an absolutely massive hit. There's a really good interview with him in The Guardian today.
Yeah, it's number
which
one.
Which I would recommend.
Because it's number one in the UK Netflix, which I was like, great, I was expecting that. But I saw that it's number one in the US Netflix as well, which is really good to see.
Mega hit, smash hit. So we'll probably bring his work to a much bigger audience. And he's like just an amazing writer and has predominantly worked as a writer, apart, you know, when it comes to telly. So this will lead, I'm sure, to fantastic stuff. He's really amazing. So,
because he does these incredible Edinburgh shows, but then like pre-pandemic, he was doing Baby Reindeer. And then, he's sort of gone off the radar a bit. So, but I'd imagine it was getting this ready, but it's...
Yeah.
It's nice to see him back. And then the last thing I've got that I would recommend is, this is a bit off the sort of beaten path for us. The advertising worked and I got Audible to listen to 1984, the one with...
Oh, I saw those adverts on the tube.
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy.
Andrew Scott.
Cynthia Erivo and Andrew Scott. And partly because the advertising was great, but also I have never consumed 1984 in any way whatsoever. So I needed to sort of plug that gap.
It's a classic. It's a classic for a reason.
It's a bit like Dune where you watch it and you go, oh, this is the first one to do all these things. So there's some of it
where
you're like,
all these things are from. Yeah.
Some of it you're like, yeah, I get where this is going because I've seen loads of people imitate it.
Yeah.
But it's still brilliant. Definitely worth, I mean, that cast alone, come on, that's amazing.
Great cast. Maybe I'll give it a listen. I haven't read it in a long time. Good stuff. All right. Cheers, John.
See you this time. No, same time next time. Send a movie idea.
Next time. Send a movie idea. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.